Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
McWilliam Cyberline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US, host 2020 at cyber-line.com, facebook.com/cyberlinenet, and of course the Tweety at cyberlineusa. All right, Bob, what do you got?
Well, a lot of things have been coming down the pike lately about government wanting to control all, you know, many aspects of our free speech. And, you know, we're looking more and more. There's an article over at New York Times by Davey Alba and Shira Frenkel. And it starts out, standing before a local school board in central Indiana this month, Dr. Daniel Stock, a physician in the state, issued a litany of, are we ready for this? False claims about the coronavirus. They didn't say he issued us claims about the coronavirus. They didn't say he issued his own opinions about the coronavirus. They go out through and they say, talk about false claims. And you're hearing that phrase more and more coming from the media. And when you're hearing that, they're making a judgment here. So if they're going to come through and make a judgment about this being a false claim, what are their backgrounds? Are they doctors? How do they get to go through and make the determination that these are false claims if they're not doctors? Because it specifically references false claims about the coronavirus. He proclaimed that the recent surge in cases showed that the vaccines were ineffective, that people were better off with a cocktail of drugs and supplements to prevent hospitalization from the virus, and that masks didn't help prevent the spread of the infection. Now, it's interesting because you hear each of those, the way they're presented, you know, that's the way it's presented here in the article. Now, you'd have to go back. Whenever I hear something presented one way in an article, I go, I'd love to see the video about this, how he actually presented it. Now, I don't have the video, but I want to go back.
Did they block the video?
I don't know. I didn't see the video, but I was like looking at this going, my gosh, how can they go through and they can just, as non-doctors, because and make these assertions? I mean, now it's like, okay, Dr. New York Times, Dr. Facebook, Dr. Twitter, because they're all making their own opinions on someone else, a real doctor's opinions. How do they get to, as non-doctors, go in and make opinions for real doctors?
Well, now the funny thing is, you know, they were talking about the last time we started all this was hydroxychloroquine, I think it was. And they were blocking everything about it.
Yeah, you've heard. Yeah.
And we know it's not a cure, but we also know that there is case upon case upon case. And some many people, famous people, from politicians, people in our industry on down, that had taken it, didn't have to go on a ventilator, and got them through it and came out the other side. So now there's a new drug they're starting to block. I want to say it's Inferon or something. I forgot what the name was. I have to go back and look. But now it's the HCD of round two. And they're doing everything. Oh, you can't say that. Oh, we're blocking your videos.
No, but I will say this. You know what? It's funny because you asked me that question. And yes, they actually, that was one of their complaints in the article itself, is that this thing is available online. Now, I question where it's available now because the video, several versions are available online, have amassed nearly 100 million likes and shares on Facebook, 6.2 million views on Twitter, at least 2.8 million views on YouTube, and over 940,000 videos on Instagram, the article goes on to say.
You know, it's funny because those are some really good numbers.
Uh-huh.
Millions
yeah.
of it. But here's what I find funny about YouTube, Facebook, and the like. You have people that are talking like this, telling you information you probably need to know, and they're getting millions of hits. But they don't seem to like that. Oh, hey, you got too much going on there, so we're going to cut you. But have you seen, like, on Facebook Watch these, I'm sorry, but dumbass videos of people that do these tricks on people, and they just drag you through, and you just lost 16 minutes of your life over some dumb, stupid trick they're doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they get millions of videos and stuff.
Yeah.
And all these hits. And that's okay.
Yeah, well,
never mind the fact that you lost 16 minutes of your life watching this stupid stuff. And it's always, they have all these people. And this one is stupid, is this girl standing there and says, you know, well, press this hand. And opens up and says, well, press this hand. And you go for this for like 15, 20 minutes. I'm like, you just went, oh, that was the joke. Move on. And constantly these crap. And hey, what's, come see my videos. Hey, well, hey, subscribe to my channel. Like me this, like me that. And it has nothing to do with crap. It's not informative. It's not intellectual. I got people over here telling me about a virus that's killing people, getting 2 million, 6 million hits. And it's like, oh, we don't want you talking about that. But it's okay. We want you to get 6 million hits on these stupid idiots over here.
Right.
You know, that just do not have anything else to do with your time.
Yeah, but it really gets down to, again, when these corporations are making medical opinions, basically. Because Twitter, if they're going to block somebody...
I remember when Coca-Cola used to make medical opinions. Drink our stuff, you'll feel great. It's got cocaine in it.
Do they get doctors? Are doctors actually the ones doing the assessment and, the censoring here? And, you know, does it reference the doctor that's doing it? I haven't seen that. I have seen them reference the CDC before,
mm-hmm.
but...
And the CDC, say what you want about it, it's starting to get to be a joke.
Well, it is.
That whole thing with that, well, we have the power to force you to keep people in your apartments. And
right.
then finally that expires, I think, tonight.
But we're amassing more and more government control over different aspects of the Internet. And that's where the government can come in. And one that's also coming into play that is concerning, you mentioned it a minute ago, and that is Biden meets with the CEOs over at Amazon, Google, and more. Let's
Bend
see.
Over, grab ankles.
Yeah. New York Post. Theo Waite at the New York Post says that President Biden on Wednesday met with the heads of Amazon, Apple, Google, and J.P. Morgan to discuss cybersecurity after a series of high-profile hacks that left businesses and U.S. government reeling. Amazon's Andy Jassy, Google's Sundar Pichai.
Pichai, something like that.
Yeah. Apple's Tim Cook and J.P. Morgan's Chase's Jamie Dimon.
As the Beaver.
met with Biden in the White House East Room. The federal government can't meet this challenge alone, Biden told the group. We've got a lot of work to do, and thank you very much.
We need you to do your work, your fair share.
It goes on, but still, we see things that are put out there for good assertions.
Yeah.
And what my concern is, we saw so much absolute control in narrative that seemed to tend to go one way, and that is towards the DNC side. And they get to control it. Biden gets to control it. But it doesn't seem like it's balanced anymore.
Other people control it on behalf of Biden because Biden can't control himself.
Good point. But we're seeing things that get controlled. The narratives get shaped by one side. And I'm just, listening to all the, it just feels like propaganda anymore.
It does.
So I'm, when we see this, when they come out and they say that they need to control cybersecurity, I'm worried that, okay, what other invasive things are they doing? What's this really?
You
know, the legislation
it's
nowadays.
It's like Clinton, you remember, said, define what is. And now it's like, well, define what cybersecurity is. Because to you and I know what cybersecurity is. But to them, they can just have this big box that says, what is cybersecurity? Oh, this looks good. Throw it in the box.
Right.
And it's suddenly now you can't speak.
But in order to control cybersecurity, they're going to have to start monitoring in much greater detail every packet that goes across the internet or goes through their these particular groups that they're talking about, Amazon, Google.
Fine-tune the algorithms.
Yeah, they're talking to people that look to be at least Amazon, Google, they've got cloud services over there. And the more, you know, when you've got cloud services, yeah, there's plenty of places that you could get things breached and the data could be, reviewed or, you know, downloaded. Yeah. And if you get hold of data itself, oh my gosh, that can be a mess in and of itself. I know I've got an article somewhere in here about Microsoft. Yep, there it is right there. Microsoft warns thousands of cloud customers of exposed databases.
You know, T-Mobile got hit this week too. Big story on that.
Really?
Yep, they had a data breach.
Yeah, I read that, But Joseph Men over at Reuters, Microsoft on Thursday warned thousands of its cloud computing customers, including some of the world's largest companies, that intruders could have the ability to read, change, or even delete their main databases, according to a copy of the email and a cybersecurity researcher. The vulnerability is in Microsoft's Azure's flagship Cosmos DB database. A research team at security company Wiz discovered it was able to access keys that control access to databases held by thousands of companies. Wiz Chief Technology Officer Amy Lutwak is a former Chief Technology Officer at Microsoft's Cloud Security Group. Because Microsoft cannot change those keys by itself, it emailed the customers Thursday telling them to create new ones. Microsoft agreed to pay Wiz $40,000 for finding the flaw and reporting it, according to an email it sent to Wiz. We fixed this issue immediately.
And the Wiz was good.
To keep our customers safe and protected, we thank the security researchers for working under coordinated vulnerability disclosure, Microsoft told Reuters.
Reuters?
So, yeah.
Going Australian?
Is it Reuters? Reuters? Yeah.
Going all Australian on us?
Reuters. Reuters. It's Reuters, yeah. Isn't it?
Reuters? Linksys, anyway, routers.
But yeah, there's a lot of things going on out there. A lot of places that data can be gotten. It's easy enough to see why the Biden administration, especially right now, would want to get into this stuff. But I also fear that when the government controls it, you know, it needs to be put out there in an objective, independent way. And frankly, when Google, Twitter, Facebook are the ones that are going to be in charge of this, and Amazon as well, I fear the objectivity. I fear the control of it. And as they go over and over deeper, instead of controlling it and eliminating the cyber, you know, threats or anything like that, yes, I do fear that they're going to put their thumb on the scale and say, oh, well, gee, this is threatening.
They're already doing it.
We have to shut that down.
Remember, we know right now the midterms will be here before you know it.
Yeah.
And right now, they're going through their little algorithms and tuning them up and tightening them and say, well, let's throw this little box of words in because we know that'll be showing up. And once again, they're going to screw with us during the midterms just like they have the previous elections.
Yeah, let's talk about Afghanistan now because in a few months, we're going to have to shut that talk down, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure they're already working on things. Speaking of which, you know about the Crate Challenge?
I heard something about this today.
I don't understand it either.
I haven't seen it.
Supposedly, you stack up crates or whatever. It's on TikTok. It's on Facebook and everything. And it's gotten really popular.
Uh-huh.
Again, the stupid people, right?
Okay.
You know, I'm going to put crates together. 2 million, 6 million hits. Doctors, we're blocking you. You got too many millions of hits. But these stupid idiot people playing, you know, stack the crates. Here's the challenge. Now, it's gotten so popular that they're getting millions of hits.
Uh-huh.
they suddenly come out at TikTok and Facebook and go, well, according to our, you know, our subscriber stuff, that doesn't meet our, violates our community standards, and they give up some lame-ass rule about Section 602, blah, 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 blah,
blah. What is it violating?
I don't know. But, you know, supposedly it's because you could get hurt, and we don't want to show that. And it's like, oh, so they're getting all these hits, bringing you traffic. Remember the bucket challenge? Remember for, was it for ALS? People were standing throwing, getting buckets of ice thrown on them? And then they challenged somebody else to take the challenge, and it went and raised a lot of money and everything. Had no problem with that, right? Millions of hits. Had no problem. Now, mind you, they didn't get a cut,
hey,
which is even better, but you know it worked. But now these guys come up with this goofy stuff, and they start getting hits and everything, and it's like, oh, no, no, we can't, no, we're blocking all of that. We're taking them all down. And it's like, wow.
Well, we need to get the moral progressive police out there to stop this stuff.
You know, planking, we need to get cinnamon challenge. Ticket.
We need to get the Democrat moral police out there to be able to.
But you're more than happy to put that mindless drivel crap. Oh, this person's pranking somebody. There was the stupidest one I watched that lasted 8 minutes. These two girls in a Walmart, they got like bikini tops on
right.
and shorts, and they're looking at, believe it or not, they're looking at automotive stuff. They're just standing there looking for windshield wipers or something. So they have this friend off to the side, and she gets a couple of jumper cables or something and puts weight on them so that when they walk away, it's supposed to untie their tops mm-hmm. and fall off of them.
Okay.
And so she's like, see, they can't see me. See what's going on. You know, she's laughing, you know, snickering and stuff. This goes on forever. And then for some reason, they don't pull far enough to get the tops off. So finally she just grabs thing and knocks them off and the tops fall off and they catch them just in time and the camera stops. This goes on forever and gets millions of hits. Why?
I've seen so many of these things. And they look...
Don't watch
so
them.
Many of these
don't
things
share
like,
them.
They look like setups. There's so many...
They're all setups.
Yeah.
And people are posted, this is the worst 16 minutes of my life wasted. All right, we'll be right back. Sorry, folks, we're making an executive decision. Yeah, between those two, pick one. They're both good.
I'm going with this one.
All right, there you go.
I'll tell you what.
By the way, Cyberline.
Reuters, again.
Reuters?
Yeah, they're talking about article from Shanghai, China. Let's see, China's Supreme Court, People's Court, said the overtime practice of 996. Do you know what this is? Have you ever heard this? 996.
That's some kooky Karma Sutra thing.
I knew you'd go there.
We didn't. It's like ancient. You know, what was it? India came up with Karma Sutra. Now that, well, the Chinese have a much better version. And here it is. 996 is the best position.
996 is
that
working.
Or you call for emergency in China.
Over in China, working 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. 6 days a week.
I wished it was a sexual
can
position.
You imagine? Can you imagine working 9 to 9, 6 days a week?
I did that. It was for a place called Radio Shack, and we didn't even have all our stuff came from Taiwan back then.
Fortunately, even over in China, they've decided that now they've decided it is illegal.
How long has this been going on with the 996?
Taking aim at, doesn't say, but taking aim at the controversial policy that is common among many Chinese technology firms.
Ooh.
China's top court and the Ministry of Human Resources and Social Security on Thursday published guidelines and examples on what constituted as overtime work.
So
saying,
let's back up a second.
Yeah?
We know that they have slave labor in China,
mm-hmm.
right? And God knows how long they go.
Well, they don't call it that.
I know, but we know what it is.
996?
And they do all this stuff. But 996 rolls around. And we get the Ministry of Human Resources, the Chinese court saying, this is illegal, but yet you're okay with these guys over here slaving away.
Well, you know, in the rest of the world, you've got the 40-hour work week. And, gosh, what is that? That's 12 times 6, so...
72?
6, yeah, you're right, 72.
Yeah, 72
wow.
hours.
72-hour work week. That's almost double our work
but
week.
But we're upset about that. But, again, the guys over here that are chained and, you know, shot if they don't produce enough.
Well, it
okay, I take that back. Maybe they weren't shot.
It goes on to be extreme, but while the authorities used a case involving a parcel delivery company to explain why 996 was illegal, working such hours had become a badge of honor for some Chinese companies and employees. Now, yo, you got to think about that. It says for some Chinese companies and employees. Now,
so on a wall somewhere in China, in a business, there's these placards for each month, and it says 996 employee of the month.
Yeah.
Zhang Chao, May 996 employee of the month.
Oh boy!
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's see. A man talks on a mobile phone as he looks at the view of Shanghai Sky. Oops. Sorry, never mind. I was reading a description of something. let's see. Silicon.
It's a beautiful view while working 996.
In the country or in the United States? Oh. Silicon Valley heavyweights such as Sequoia Capital's Mike Moretz have highlighted it as a competitive advantage the country had over the United States. And I'm sorry I listed that again. I'm like going, are you kidding me? Yo, that's not a competitive advantage. Yo,
we need $15 an hour. We need a living wage, and we can do it with 996. That's what we need. Be competitive with the Chinese. We got to go. 10, 10, 7.
You know, no, but what you have to do, yeah, you're right. I mean, what you have to do when it gets down to the bottom line is simple, and that is productivity rules. Whichever company, I guess, gives you the most, gets the most output from the employees in that particular case, I'd lay money that the United States working less hours and having more freedom and being
they don't
able,
like that.
Yeah, I would think that our work ethic would be outproduce them.
We had a similar problem not too long ago back in the 80s. You remember the Japanese were all the rage.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was honor and everything. And if you didn't toe the line and you worked all the time, you know, you got the badges of shame and all of that. And it was an honor to do this for the company and all that. And some of them died of heart attacks and some of them died of other things. But they amassed a lot of money. And then they become very rich because of that work, and they come over and start buying land in Hawaii and everything here. So this is nothing new. It's just the difference is the Japanese kind of had a little more freedom than the Chinese do, and they don't have slave labor like the
sure.
Chinese do.
Yeah.
But 996. Boy, 996. We had to declare that illegal.
Wow. It was a policy.
I'm sure the Democrats are looking at it right now going, hey. All right, little local news, national news, around the world via the internet, coast to coast via satellite. Listen to McWilliam Cyberline on the USA Radio Network.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.